This Marketplace podcast is brought to you by Panopto. For businesses and universities, Panopto is everything YouTube isn't. With enterprise-grade security, built-in recording and live streaming, and a unique search engine that finds any word spoken in any video, Panopto is how professionals share knowledge. And by ClearBank. They're looking for growing e-commerce companies wanting to increase revenue through marketing. ClearBank looks at your sales and provides potential investment offers to you in minutes with no personal guarantees or a piece of your company. If you have an e-commerce business, go to clearbank.com/podcast. That's clearbank.com/podcast to speak to their investors.
The Brexit cliff edge moves further away, but has the economic damage already been done? Live from Brussels, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Now, we're here just next to the European Council building, and not a very picturesque building, it has to be said. If anything, it almost personifies a faceless bureaucracy. But this is where, late last night, amid the sound of departing helicopters, we learned that the European leaders have given Prime Minister Theresa May two Brexit options. Pass your withdrawal deal and get a delay until May the 22nd. Don't pass it and you've got till just April the 12th to figure out what next, or crash out that day with no deal. Now, once again, the Brexit ping pong ball has landed squarely in the British Parliament, and businesses all over are still facing a huge dose of uncertainty. The UK port of Dover is Europe's busiest trade and travel gateway. Its boss, Doug Bannister, in an exclusive interview with the BBC, says their no-deal contingency plans are in place with more staff trained for new procedures, but there's still the uncertainty of many different agencies involved.
For example, one of the requirements is for the French authorities who review passports. As long as they continue their process as they do today, customers won't find any alteration in service at all. However, if they start insisting on 100% checks, not only for private vehicles, but for the freight vehicles, then that could create a bottleneck. If it takes an additional sort of 2 minutes to process a vehicle through the Port of Dover, that could lead to a 17-mile queue.
Doug Bannister. Well, the European papers this morning, there's a weary sense of déjà vu. The French paper Le Monde says Brexit is still provoking a crisis in Britain. It accuses Theresa May of playing her people against her politicians. And while British papers are all leading with Brexit, the Belgian paper Le Soir gives it just a small space under the fold. And online, it's actually leading with Belgium defeating Russia in the Euro 2020 soccer qualifier last night. Now, with a no-deal Brexit still on the table, European industries that import and export to the UK are warning of huge costs and job losses. The BBC's Audrey Tinlin has been hearing from food and drink producers here in Brussels.
Europe's food and drink industry is one of the bloc's major employers. 99% of its businesses are small or medium-sized and export $36 billion worth of goods to the UK. Exporters at this conference in the heart of Brussels are warning that a no-deal Brexit would cost them dearly. They estimate Britain crashing out could lead to thousands of job losses and financial losses amounting to tens of billions of dollars. Marcel van der Vlie is head of procurement for the Dutch meat producer Van Drie Group.
We send trucks with fresh meat daily to the big market close to London. We are worried. It's the uncertainty mainly, and this hampers trade. We stay away from long-term contracts. It needs to be done week by week. We are very careful for especially these next 2 weeks what will happen. We've been sourcing alternative products from EU sources to make up for what we potentially lose from sourcing every month from the UK.
Farmers across Europe growing tons of fresh fruit and vegetables from apples to tomatoes to lettuce for the UK markets are particularly concerned. They're projecting a loss of more than $200 million in revenue in the worst case scenario. Philippe Binard of Freshfel Europe represents the sector.
When you talk about fruit and vegetables in one truck, you might have 5 different suppliers, 10 different products, and 5 different customers. That's multiplied the number of paperwork which will need to be prepared, so it will delay the process, and it might also lead to some problems.
So, while the politicians negotiate, possibly up to the last minute, food and drink producers here are bracing for the losses that are starting to look very real. In Brussels, I'm the BBC's Audrey Tinlin for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The Brexit postponement has helped steady sterling. The currency fell as much as 1.5% ahead of the decision to delay this morning. It's up a fraction of a percent to $1.33. Meanwhile, the euro is taking a hit after weak economic data from France and Germany point to a worsening slowdown. Now, whatever happens in the British Parliament next week, how much economic damage has already been done? Let's speak to Guntram Wolff, director of the European economic think tank, Bruegel.
The estimates range between 2% of GDP up to 6% of GDP. But it's clear that the economic damage is substantial. Both sides are suffering, but of course the loss is very, very big in the UK, while it is relatively small in every individual EU country. For the UK, 50% of its external exports in goods is basically to the EU. For every individual EU country, it's 10-15%.
And what about beyond the actual exit date? What do you think the mood is going to be for these longer-term trade relations? That's where we need to get to. I mean, that's going to define how the two sides trade for the next few generations.
I think the most immediate challenge will be the logistical challenge. So in the next 1 or 2 years after a hard Brexit, there will be significant disruptions, not because of tariffs, but really because just of simple logistics. We can't do the customs controls at the speed at which we would like them to do. Now, more longer term, the more ugly this separation becomes, the more difficult it will be for the EU to be forthcoming in the negotiations with the UK on a future trade agreement.
Now, one of our listeners tweeted us, Mike McCartney, and he said, can you give us more perspective on what the rest of the EU thinks of Brexit? Why would they want the UK at this point to stay?
The EU is really fed up with the whole process. Now, of course, in principle, we would love to have the UK being a member, staying a member of the EU. But I have to say also in terms of the domestic political situation in the UK, at the end of the day, there was a decision to leave. In a democracy, somehow you have to deliver that.
Guntram Wolff there. So it's not over yet, folks. Don't forget to tweet us your Brexit questions at BBC Anu Anand, or use the hashtag BBC Marketplace. Next week, we'll be hearing from loads of businesses, including one British tech entrepreneur who says he's headed to America. In Brussels, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service.